Hello and welcome to a special edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan. I am joined by Jack and Shane. And tonight we have one reason for talking with you guys, and that is the impending announcement of Willie Taggart as the next Florida Atlantic head coach, replacing Lane Kiffin. Willie Taggart, formerly of FSU and USF and Western Kentucky and Oregon for 1 year. I think there's a lot of emotion out there on the internet, in the Twitterverse, about this hire. And we are going to kind of share our thoughts on the hire, what it means for FAU, and maybe talk a little bit about the coaching search overall. But I guess some background. Willie Taggart's overall record in his, I'm not sure how long he's been a head coach.
10 years.
10 years or so. He's 56 and 62. So a losing record, but he did take over a very bad Western Kentucky team, and just kind of stating facts here before we get into what we think of the hire. He took over Western Kentucky, graduated from Western Kentucky there, and he was 2-10 in his first year, and then he improved them to, I think, 2 back-to-back 7-5 years. Then left to take over a struggling USF program that just fired Skip Holtz, same Skip Holtz of Louisiana Tech. And there he had some success, had a bad record his first year, and then kind of maxed out winning 10 games. And after that, getting the job at Oregon, after going 10-2 at USF in his last year, spent a year at Oregon, went 7-5, 3-4 in the in conference in the Pac-12, and then left for his quote dream job. Only spent a year at Oregon to come back to Florida and coach at Florida State. And anybody who has been aware of college football kind of saw what happened at Florida State this past year, where he was fired mid-season, and just a real struggling team at Florida State. So, obviously record is not everything. We know that from Coach Snellenberger, who has a overall losing record in his head coaching career, all much, much longer. So those are some of the facts, kind of where we are right now. And I don't know, Shane, what is your thoughts on this hire?
A lot of questions. Full transparency for the people that read The Nest. When he got hired at Oregon and brought on Willie Taggart, I think I actually said that they're going to win a national title. I was a big believer in Willie Taggart, kind of when he rebuilt Western Kentucky and USF. It took him a while at both places. It was kind of a slower build, but both players were complete dumpster fires. Oregon, he got a better record there his year. And then Florida State happened. And not just the losing record, sometimes this happens. I wanted Butch Jones. He got ran out of Tennessee. But there is a lot of questions of what happened at Florida State. And not just, it wasn't a great fit. We're talking Florida State, just for example, was second worst in penalized last year. And my biggest question is, we could talk about, and a lot of people are going, well, Jimbo Fisher left a mess at Florida State. And that was written about extensively this summer. Did Florida State get better in any way under Willie Taggart? Even one thing, we could talk about, your team cannot have talent. You cannot have holes. Florida State offensive line can be a disaster. And it was a disaster both years there. And it didn't get any better. What got better? Did James Blackman improve? They didn't recruit a quarterback 2 years they were there. People want to talk about Willie, we know, has great South Florida connections and is well liked by players and well known in the Tampa area. But they missed on a quarterback both years he was there. Right? You want to talk about this is the most important position. Sam Howell, who just started at North Carolina for a year, they missed, So there's a lot of questions with this hire. It feels weird hiring someone that this fan base is kind of split on, at FAU. It's really never been that way. Even when Charlie Partridge was like, oh, okay, you know, we see this, nice hire. We were much, a little bit more naive at the time, I think, as a fan base. But, you know, it's, I just don't really know what to make of it right now. You know, I think Wheelie has some good coaching qualities. But so much went wrong at Florida State. It's hard to overlook that. And it just wasn't. I mean, according to 247 Sports, if you look at teams' recruiting average for over like 4 years, 4 or 5 years, and you know they rate the rosters based on what's in the roster, Florida State had the 6th best roster in the country coming into this year, something like that. I mean, they were more talented than everyone they played, and yet they're losing to Boise State at home. Now, Boise State, great G5 program, and okay, sure, you get upset by Boise State, but then it comes out that your players were dehydrated in a home game versus a team that came from Boise. You know, so who knows what the stories behind that. Maybe he was just, we don't know. We're kind of speculating right now, but there's kind of just a lot of things I wonder about where this hire doesn't feel exactly safe to me. You know, which Willie Taggart are we getting?
Yeah, good point, Shane. Are we going to get the USF Willie Taggart or the Florida State Willie Taggart? My 2 cents, here we go, guys. You guys know I'm a proud Tampanian. Willie Taggart's one of our best. He's Bay-made, Bay-raised. He made that Western Kentucky program. Things weren't great for him at USF, but granted, he was given a dumpster fire after Skip Holtz left Tampa there. But he turned it around. He was able to bring in studs like Marlon Mack and Quentin Flowers. Quentin Flowers is worshipped in the Bay Area. It doesn't matter who your allegiance is. He plucked him out of South Florida and brought him to Hillsborough County, and that was great to see. He's now going to be playing with the XFL, with the Tampa Bay Vipers. You know, then the 7-5 year at Oregon, whatever, no biggie. I was right with you, Shane, where I thought he was going to do wonders there, but his dream job opened up at Florida State. His whole family grew up Florida State fans. And he also took over a dumpster fire there. What Jimbo Fisher left that program, it's pretty abysmal. I'm not blaming Jimbo Fisher because the administration promised him improved facilities, and that's something that Willie Taggart didn't really see up there in Tallahassee. That's something that Willie Taggart really didn't see up in Tallahassee. So, I'm concerned about which Willie Taggart we're going to get. The penalties concern me. But that being said, when it comes to coaching a Group of Five team, I don't think there's a name out there that has proven the amount that Willie has. I think I might be biased because of Tampa connection, but I think this is an exciting hire. Some things that Willie Taggart brings to the table that Lane did not is that Willie is going to be willing to go out into the community. Remember how we were talking about that last week, guys, about shaking hands, kissing babies? All jokes aside, because Lane Kiffin was giving
a point on that. I just want to speak on Jack and continue that Willie donated $1 million of his own money back to Florida State. To help with, I think, a new facility there. I mean, he took a lot of Florida State's money, $17 million of it to be exact. But yeah.
Exactly, Shane. It kind of goes to show his character that he has. And no one has ever said that he's a bad person. Same thing goes with Charlie Strong. Same thing goes with Charlie Partridge here at FAU. But a lot of times, good people don't equate great head coaches. Let's see what he can do, if he can generate the excitement that the fan base is pretty divided about this. But if he can come out and really just create a home run during his opening press conference, unite the fans and university, I think it's going to be a great hire. And I think what would put the icing on the cake here, guys, if we're somehow able to keep Glenn Spencer on the staff, while I doubt it, because, you know, I mentioned this on my Twitter account, you know, he interviewed for the job. I doubt he's going to stick around, especially after the job that he did with our defense. He's probably going to go to the P5. But if we're able to just throw a whole bunch of wad of cash at him, maybe give him Lane's old house, and he's able to stick around, then I think that this is probably one of the best case scenarios we can get from all of this. So with that being said, guys, I just want everyone to say goodbye to the Lane Kiffin cutout. He's joined us for years on the program. If you guys watch us on YouTube, you've seen him. He's been here. But it's over. There we go.
Now you need to do something poster. It's hard to grade, and you bring up a good point of which Willie Taggart are we going to get. For me, Lane has shown that, everybody keeps talking, oh, he's a great recruiter. Charlie was a great recruiter.
FAU hasn't had any recruiting problems.
Right, and that's my point.
We see how talented this defense is, and wait till some of later Kiffin guys start playing next year. Yeah. Wait till you guys see Ian Cole and guys like Latrell Jean, and Eddie Williams.
Or even a healthy Larry McCammon for
a year.
I mean, I don't think recruiting is not going to be the biggest issue, right? Is it going to be on Saturdays, X's and O's? Can he do that? I mean, Lane came in and won 11 games with all of Charlie's guys, right? I feel like FAU should have something in the contract that says, if you go 7-5 and don't make the conference championship game, you're fired. Because there is zero reason why winning less than 7 games, whatever stupid excuse that you could have, there is no excuse for, especially with how many key players. Yes, we're losing Harrison Bryant. We're losing some on defense.
Losing a lot on that defensive line.
Yeah,
that's true. We'll lose some depth there, but there's winning 7 games would be a failure next year.
Yeah, I mean it. Well, that's something that we kind of talked about when Willie went into dumpster fire programs a few times at Western, at USF, and at Florida State. This is going to be the best team he's had, the most complete team he's had. He is given a winning team, a double-digit winning team that's still going to have most of its star players, like you mentioned, Dan, say for the defensive line, like Shane mentioned, and Harrison Bryant. He gets another year of Robinson, who's going to be coming from a sophomore to a junior, almost the entire running backs, all of the running backs. And then Ian Cole, who's someone that we expected to be the number one receiver going into this year, his freshman season, will be back from injury. So
the whole secondary's back next year, which is loaded.
Back. We'll see if we have to do a different defensive scheme. But, I hope not. Worked. But real quick, let me just finish that. He's not going to have a lot of room for excuses. I'll give you guys that. He's going to have to put up or shut up in this first year, especially with this recent Florida State failure still fresh on our minds.
Well, the thing is, I point out, with FSU's offensive line not being fixed in 2 years. I mean, we have an issue with we're losing a lot of depth at D-line. I think we have a lot of really good young players, but in G5, they tend to take a little longer to develop. We're playing with a lot of vet guys right now, really White, Will Davis, Kevin McCrary, just Noah Jefferson, all senior vet, Tim Bonner, guys who've been here for a while. Usually it takes D linemen to develop a little longer at this level. If the O-line wasn't fixed in 2 years at Florida State, how do we expect, him to go out and find the right transfers and JUCO guys to help our D-line get through next year? I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate. Maybe he does. I don't know how much of a disaster Florida State is. O-line is way harder to recruit than D-line. We'll see all teams in the state have issues with it. Miami, Florida State, this isn't, but it's just, it's questions like those. I want someone to tell me where I keep to look past at what I saw at Florida State. Tell me why I should look past all that. Tell me, some of the things I even heard that went on, kind of through the grapevine. And I don't want to say it on the podcast because it's kind of speculative stuff, but just some stuff where you heard that was going on inside the program. And a quarter of it could be true, probably is. But where you're just kind of what was going on there, did James Blackman improve? You know, we heard things that him and Kendall Briles didn't see eye to eye on, you know, the speed of the offense and the defense getting tired. It's like, well, how are you not prepared for that when that NASCAR offense was coming? You know what I mean? It's
worrisome because you should know about these coaches and their styles when you hire them. So what I'm going to say is, A, why don't we bring back Garen Justice if we're worried about the O-line? I've always been a big fan of him. He's active on Twitter. His wife and family are just amazing. I'd love to bring him back to Boca. A. B, maybe it would have been good for Willie Taggart to, just like Lane did, and Steve Sarkisian as well, to maybe do some sort of assistant coach work under a big-name coach so he can see firsthand how a head coach is supposed to dictate things at an upper level. Instead of just, being a play caller and X, Y, and Z and doing all of this, he can be the CEO where he can delegate things. That's one of the stuff that Lane Kiffin was talking about that Nick Saban taught him so well. So maybe if he had a year under a big head coach, would that make you guys feel a bit better being like a year removed from this and then learning from someone? Would that make you guys feel better about this hire?
Well, I think
there's some mystery to a new coach. You don't know. There's a high up and down, yeah. Right?
It is a good point, and you never know what he could choose. I mean, he could choose to take the experience as learning, or he could just, I'm a head coach. I know what's right. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. Like I said, we should go into next season with, rightfully so, high expectations. We don't know what the contract looks like yet, because right now nothing is official. Nothing has been let out by FAU, or it's just kind of known at this point that he's leaving. And so it'll be interesting to see who he keeps. I mean, I feel like, yeah, that we're fans of Glenn Spencer and Charlie Weiss and things like that, but it is like college football is the same guys tend to show up on the same coaching staffs a lot of times. So, and they don't tend to keep the same members of the staff. So we'll find out who is staying and who is going.
There's usually one, maybe two holdovers.
Yeah.
Just because they got to keep somebody for recruiting, stuff like that.
They're their position coaches or nothing.
Yeah. It's like, let's just, Jared Allen.
Yep. Yeah.
The consistent holdover at FAU for three different staffs. One of the things I also kind of thought about this hire, and it was a little, is just, and you kind of see what some of the social media feedback on all platforms, Facebook and Twitter, is I think there is an element of it just went so wrong at Florida State. And of course, Florida fans are joking about it. Miami fans are getting on it. And then he comes to a program in the state. It almost, FAU's trying to have itself taken seriously as a program. We're here. We're up and coming. And then it's like we hired this meme from Florida State that people have been ragging on for. Like, there's an element to that. You know what I mean? Just kind of reading the social media feed. He has to win to be taken seriously, or this will go south quickly.
Yeah, it makes us look small time. You know the old saying, one man's trash, another man's treasure. This is a trash that everyone's made fun of, and now we're picking it up as if, I guess this is what we have left. Jeff Scott went over to USF. What can we do? So I see that same reaction on social media as you do, Shane. But that being said, I still think it's a decent hire. He's going to have to win. He's going to have to win quickly, but only time will tell. It's currently a Wednesday night now on the emergency podcast. He's telling media that it's confirmed. We don't know the terms. I would like to see Trinket and Spencer stay on the staff. We don't know. Trinket. Sorry. But it's interesting. People are asking if he's going to, if it is confirmed, if he's going to coach in the bowl game. I just want to put this out there. Extremely doubtful, guys. While he will Spencer is still going to be the head coach. Spencer's going to be the head coach for that. for the Boca Bowl. He will most likely be there. I'm talking about Willie Taggart. He will most likely be there watching the team. You see that all the time. But the extremely doubtful. I mean, you're going to have to put yourself in there at practice and create a game plan amongst these coaches that you've really never met before. All for a game that's happening in like 10 days. It's not going to happen, guys. But I have a good feeling he will be there. He will be there at FCU Stadium. So another reason to show out, guys. We've been talking about attendance for so long this year. And we saw the reception that Lane got at Ole Miss. UTSA announced their new head coach with a large reception. Jeff Scott was announced at USF today with a large reception. Why don't we go ahead and welcome our new leader with a huge sellout crowd against a double-digit winning SMU team and maybe finish the season ranked. That's the way how we would create noise going into next year.
And if you're someone who supported Glenn Spencer, show out to that game. Let him go out. You know, I'm sure the players, the defensive players are going to play crazy for them. They love that guy. They were going to go out, probably carry him off the field if they know it's the last game. You know, it'll be kind of like possibly a special moment. But
I want to carry out Janine Edwards too, man. She is great. She is great. So if he goes, I'm really sad to see the both of them leave.
So I guess we'll the one kind of question that I'll leave everybody with is, and this was what came into my mind consistently. So everybody kept saying every article you would read about the coaching search, FAU is one of the greatest, one of the top group of five coaching jobs. Did we get one of the top five coaches for this?
Well, honestly, kind of just diving back into this, was there a huge group of candidates this year?
Yeah. And that's,
you know, it felt like, you know, when you have, just when you have Missouri hiring App State's head coach, App State was great this year, and he kind of just took over a program that was already running on four cylinders, and he just won 10 games again with them. But they paid him $4 million, and he'd been head coach for 1 year. So, right. You know, you see Arkansas hiring Georgia's O-line coach. You know, it's
– Colorado State hiring Steve Adazio.
Yeah, amazing. Not only did Lane leave this year, it didn't seem like it was the best year, but, you know, hopefully, hopefully all the negative things we think kind of mixed with some of the positive stuff. You know, I hope we get the Taggart that went 10-2 at USF. Yeah. You know what I mean? They beat Illinois at home that year. You know, they beat Power Five teams. Their only losses that year was a close road game to Houston, and Houston was like a top 25 team that year. And then they lost to UCF in probably like one of the best college football games I've watched in the last 20, my whole life. Right. Yeah. Remember that Black Friday game it was one of the best college football games. So, you know, hopefully we can kind of have that type of excitement. A couple possible names we could possibly see at defensive coordinator, Jim Levitt is possible. He's worked with him at two different stops now. Another one is possibly Raymond Woody, who's worked with him before. So, you know, we'll see how it comes together. You know, can make us feel better about this. I'm really curious to see what the contract is like. I think the biggest thing to look for is that assistant coaching pool. We know from Lane in his second year, you're sometimes only as good as your assistants, right? And they made some changes. They had some young assistants. So the whole is way better than just one big piece sometimes. So that is, to me, much more important. If you have good assistants, you know, you could win a lot of football games. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. The assistant pool has to be huge. I think that's one of the reasons why Jeff Scott ended up going to USF, because they're putting a lot of money towards that assistant pool. Some offensive names. I mean, everyone's talking about Kendall Briles, but Shane, you have your 2 cents on him. I'm right there with you. I think the ship has sailed. I think he's going to go somewhere else. Let's see if Charlie Weiss stays on board. I'd love to see Garen Justice back for sure to be coaching the O-line. But this is all speculation, guys. We don't really know what's going to be happening. Let's see the contract. Let's see the numbers before we really start talking about everything lower on down.
Yeah, FAU said they wanted to have a coach by this weekend. So I would expect probably something Friday or Monday. But before we go, we have to give a huge shout-out to Harrison Bryant, who did win the Mackey Award for the nation's best tight end. This is the first time FAU has ever had a national award winner on our team. And I mean, it's a major achievement, especially for a player on a group of five. So definitely shout out to Harry B for that. And also was an All-American. I'll mention the conference honors. FAU had a few on the first team, but none of the kind of defensive player or player of the year type thing, which is interesting, because FAU dominated Conference USA, and also interesting was UAB didn't have anybody there as well. So the two teams that were in the conference championship game didn't have any representation on players of the year, which I thought was, take that as you may. We got the award that matters. So make sure you check out FAUOwlsNest.com for all of the latest information, and then make sure you're checking us out on Twitter and at Inside the Burrow. And we will certainly we'll be back sometime next week, maybe after everything's ironed out. But we wanted to get something out for you guys, kind of giving our thoughts and go from there. So again, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us, and we will see you next time. Go Owls!